And now it is my privilege to introduce tonight's speaker. Let's give a warm Valley Group welcome to Amy.
Okay, I'm really nervous. My name's Amy. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My sobriety date is 12/30/2016. My home group is Primary Purpose on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. on Bridge Street. All right, now we got that out of the way. I'm sweating. So I've been actually around since around 2003. I started in the stepsister program. And I thought, well, if I quit doing that, then I'll be okay. So I continued drinking because alcohol wasn't the problem because it was legal. And then, however, you know, obviously I ended up here again. I kind of just want to go straight into the big book for me. We all have our drunkalogs, and we all know what it's like to be out there, even though when I talk about the big book, you'll hear part of that, part of my story. For me, like, I found out the best-kept secret in the rooms is the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. When I was trying to go through the program before, no one went line by line with me through the book. And, I mean, I didn't know the difference between obsession and craving when I first started. And I've been trying to do this for 15 years. Craving. All right. Basically, that's when you take your first drink and then you just can't stop. After that, you have no control. For me, I always would go in and just have one, right? Like, going to the bar, I'm just going to have one this time. And the next thing you'd know, I'd be totally, I cuss, by the way, and I'll try really hard not to. Like, I throw F-bombs, like, and it's bad. Ollie likes it. That's how we get along. So I basically would get completely shit-faced. And I have a kid. She's 10. And I'm so nervous, man. Okay, I got this. All right. So I'm going to just fast forward to, like, the end, which will explain the craving, the obsession, and the unmanageability of my life at the end. And then I have more unmanageability in my sobriety. So basically, when I started partying was back when I was about 18. I was a late bloomer. I had the all-American childhood. Parents are still married, happily. My brother and I are really fucked up alcoholics, drug addicts. So don't know how that happened. I think it was more like, oh, we're so perfect. Let's go try to mess it up because so we can be like everybody else. And in reality, it was like, you know, those people you hang out with and you're like, man, they're really jacked up. You know, I'm not as bad as them. And look where I'm at, you know, and they're like successful with families and stuff now. I started off, I did the college thing, and then I met this guy, and, you know, some of us girls know, we like those prison guys with the prison tattoos, and I like all that hard stuff, you know, they're so cute, and so I hooked up with one for a long time. That's a product of that right there. And we partied. We partied hard. And the only time I was sober for longer than the time I am right now was when I was pregnant with my daughter. And then I had her, and I went back to drinking again because, you know, the other stuff was out of the picture. Why not drink? It's legal once again. And when she was born November, probably about 8 months old, maybe less than that, probably about 5 months old, I got my first UI. And prior to having her, I was running from the cops, houses being raided, all that fun gangster lifestyle, you know, woo. And then, you know, I'm an old lady and all that shit. So then I had her, and I got my first. I made it through that without any law trouble. God only knows why. Like, he definitely. This is how I know there was a higher power, is because of things like that. You know, getting your door kicked in and making it out of it, and not going to prison. You know, drinking and driving and all the other fun stuff that goes along with it, and not getting arrested. Then I get a DUI when I have a kid, and she's at home with grandma and grandpa, and they came and got me the next day, and that still didn't stop me. I continued on after that, just drinking for a long time, and my drinking has always been, and it's funny because I always thought, well, I didn't lose control till about, you know, the last 2 years of my drinking. And my parents pointed out to me, and so did some of the people that are still in my lives that, remember, they grew up and got families and became successful. Those people, they always pointed out, you know, this is when you know you're an alcoholic. For me, is besides all the gangster lifestyle and the cops and all that, it's when you go out with your friend to go have lunch, right? And they order one beer and you're over here like, let's take shots, you know? And it's like 11 o'clock in the morning. And then you get mad when they don't want to. Like, who gets mad because somebody wants to have a beer at lunch and nothing else? So I do. And it was funny too, I was in Texas recently and my friend who's a normie, he had a drink and he didn't finish it. And you know, I'm sober, I still got pissed off. Like, what are you doing? You just wasted somebody else's Jack and Coke. Like, not cool. We're not friends anymore. And so, let's fast forward a little bit. My kid had her check. And then, so I kept on. So you know that I went to school, started going to school as that single mom, went back to school, got a job, and continued to write her dad. And, you know, we're still in love. And I just partied on the weekends. And you know how you can control it in the, you know, you can kind of control it, until you lose control. Ultimately, obviously, everybody in here loses control. And I did have a lot of fun. I will admit, I had a lot of fun. I love partying like a rock star. I really, really do. You know, however, I also know where it takes me. It takes me to absolutely death because I did all the institutions, jails, institutions. All the next thing I had was death. And one time I failed at trying to do that. And so even though I was a single mom with a kid, I eventually started partying and partying more and more. And my excuse for partying, you know, was because of the fact that, oh, I'm a single mom. Oh, by the way, him and I broke up. So, oh, I'm a single mom. I got to find a man. You know what I mean? Like, really? Don't go home and take care of your kid. Let's go party and find a dude at the bar. So I did that. Obviously, didn't work out very well. And I continued on. Eventually, we ended up moving here, and my drinking got worse and worse, and I got into the bike club lifestyle, and once again, thought I was a princess in a certain, you know, and with all those biker guys, and slowly but surely, my life, like, spun out of control, and I just started drinking more and more and more, and started drinking with her around. I've had times, and my mom's here, so she doesn't know everything, but she's gonna hear a little bit more than what she knows. But she knows the worst, okay? To where it was like, I'd have my friend's kids go get my kid, right? Oh, we're all gonna go here, blah, blah, blah. It was all because I was trashed, and I couldn't go get her. I know, don't look at me. I'm grounded. So it continued on. Well, then I met this really nice guy, and I don't mean to, like, he's not a square. He was just successful, definitely no tattoos, never been to jail, you know, doesn't ride a Harley, all like the guy that I need in my life, right? He's going to fix me and get me out of this lifestyle, got a dad for my kid, you know, all that different stuff. So we pack our shit and we moved to San Diego. Perfect, right? that also didn't go very well. He deployed a lot. There's a lot of turmoil and stuff in there. But it got down to the point to where the end of my marriage, which was 2014, it started to escalate. 2015 was when the end of my marriage came. And, oh, yeah, by the way, I got married to that douchebag. It was my fault we got a divorce, though. It got to the point to where I was drinking every single day. And you know what's really, it's not cool now. It shows the insanity of your drinking. I had two kids now. I mean, one wasn't mine, but my daughter and my stepdaughter. And I had this beautiful, like, home and walk-in closet, you know, and it was awesome because I, like, love peacoats. Well, plus they have lots of pockets, so you can hide your bottles of alcohol in them. And so, you know, you can only have a couple vodkas and sodas in front of your husband. So you got to go into the walk-in closet. Oh, I got to change my shirt. Who changes their shirt that many times? And they're chugging drinks, you know? So eventually, like, I lost my mind. I wonder why. And I was drunk almost every single day, all day long. And I always told myself, you know, we did just one of the readings, you know, if I do this, then this, and change that for this, and so on and so forth. You know, yeah, I did pretty much everything on that list, except I didn't like brandy. I swore to myself that if I ever drank and drove with my kid, that I'd be done, you know? And when I was in San Diego, we only lived a couple blocks from the school, so I'd walk to go get the kids. It's exercise, not because mommy's hammered. And during the end of that marriage, it was really, really bad for myself, my family, my kid. And I blame him for a lot of it. You know, he's this, he cheated, he that. That shit was probably all in my head, like, really and truly. He was not a very nice person. However, ultimately, like myself, I was such a crappy wife. I really was. I was a drunk. And I had a mental breakdown. I ended up in the psych ward. Yep. Fun place. If you want to put that on your bucket list, go for it. I enjoyed it there for the few hours that I was there because I convinced them to let me out. And they didn't want to keep me. I got out, and then not shortly after that. I mean, it was bad. It was, you know, I threatened to commit suicide a lot while I was married. My kids saw it all. Cops at the house, like, every other night, you know, all sorts of stuff. And eventually, like, we had to leave, and my daughter and I did, and that was pretty much it. And then I came back, and, you know, once again, I'm drinking because I'm getting a divorce. Poor me, poor Amy, you know, and that's, like, pretty much how my life was. And I got back into that biker lifestyle, and I heard a guy here not too long ago talk about the other stuff, the condiments, you know, like, so I did a lot of those side things with my drinking. It helped me drink more. That's the only reason why I did it. I mean, don't get me wrong, once you do it, you keep going, because we're also, you know, we like to do that kind of stuff. But I used it so that I could continue drinking, because if I got too hammered, how could I go home? You know what I mean? So let's go do more stuff and then drink more rather than just go home, you know? Ultimately, towards the end, it was probably like late 2015. I moved back here in June 2015. Late 2015, I started drinking and driving with my kid. There'd be times I'd wake up and not know how I got there. I'd leap up. My car was out front, fully intact. My kid's in bed, and I didn't know that I picked her up. There was one time that, this is starting the real insanity, it was the last 2 years. We hit the curb. My story was that the train tracks had like a block in it, and it was their fault that my tire blew. And in reality, we hit the curb right in front of my house, pretty much. And I pulled over, hammered. And my kid's in the car, and I get out to change the tire. And I'm trying to change this tire, right? And I did it successfully, but I'm squatting down with the tire in my hands, and this car pulls up to help us, and I fall completely backwards, holding this tire on me. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I got this. You know what I mean? Like, don't come near me. I smell like booze. Stay away. Ultimately, I changed the wrong tire, but we made it home. We made it home. We're only a block away. I shouldn't have changed any tire. Right before that, I got another DUI. That DUI, my mom and my daughter showed up at. I was slammed into a car, arrested right in front of my kid. That was pretty traumatic. I was like a 0.24 at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I was just getting started. And after that, I swore, you know how you just swear, I won't do it anymore, and then the next day, everything's fine again, you know, everybody's happy, Amy's sober for that morning, you know, I also had a job, shocking, with all my drinking. I don't know how I kept my job, I really don't. I got a job in 2016, and I would tell my family the reason why I wasn't coming home at 5 was because I had to go out of town for work. And this is probably another part she doesn't really know. So I'd send pictures sometimes of the freeway, like, oh, there's traffic, right, that I got off of Google. And in reality, I was at the pump house, you know, or someone else's house. And poor mom. So obviously that was the insanity part. Continue down the road. Now I'm on probation. I got ankle monitor on. Get that off. Still drinking and driving. Not even supposed to be around alcohol. Probation coming and, you know, pee testing me. Don't know how I got out of those. Can't even tell you guys because there's men in the room. But I made up every excuse known to man to not pee in a cup. And it worked. I will not tell you how to do that because it's very, very unhealthy to not. You should just pee in your cups, okay? They would search my room. And I didn't expect them to come. I was like, why me? I just got a DUI. And it came down towards the end where probably 2016, I started seeing things, like, and not because, you know, that other stuff makes you see things too. No. This is alcohol. Straight alcohol. You know, you look through the blinds and stuff, people on straight alcohol do the same thing as the other stuff. No joke. It got so sick to where I even had my daughter open the blinds for me because I thought someone was there, you know? There were times, like, if I didn't get home by at least 6 o'clock, I didn't come home at all. And there was times that I'd just turn my phone off and not answer. And I had my family calling. You know, they would wish that I was in jail because they were couldn't find me, so they didn't know if I was dead or not. They'd rather me be in jail than for me to be just missing. And I would do that to them a lot. And it was always an excuse, poor Amy, all this different stuff. The last month of my drinking was really bad, and waking up with the shakes, couldn't get out of bed without a drink. I forgot to tell you guys, this is awesome. So I'm a vodka drinker, right? And so all my water bottles, they were full of vodka. And I still, for like the first 6 months of my sobriety, would smell a water bottle because that was the normal thing to do. And it's pretty, all my drinks were no to my kid. You can't have a drink of that, you know. And I honestly, I just found out not too long ago, she shared with me that I handed her a water bottle with alcohol in it for her to drink. I didn't do it because I wanted her to drink alcohol. I thought it was water. But that's how drunk I was. The very end, I left state and while on probation. And when I came back 10 days later, I went back to jail. And I missed a lot of things in those 10 days right before Christmas. And they made a glitch again. I honestly, this is why there's God, okay? One, I get pissed off when people tell stories and the cops let them go, you know? However, people get pissed off at my story because they put it in the system wrong, so I was able to bail out rather than staying there through Christmas and shit. And so I bailed out, and I still didn't get sober. I was back at the bar the next day, you know. Shit, when I got my DUI, like, I got out of the sheriff's van, you know, because they take you from Bob Wiley back to the downtown. I got out of the sheriff's van in hospital pants, okay, and jail underwear. And I was ready to walk to the pump house. Like, mom saved me from embarrassing myself. But just the insanity of all of it is just crazy to me. And just continue drinking and drinking and drinking, never stopping. The last time I drank was I went to work and I went to the pump house, and then I ended up, I think I went to the casino, and then I went to VBC, and I ended up not going home that night. And I had my daughter's blanket in my car and her little Pammy bear, and I didn't go home. Like, ultimately, like, that's for me, and it sounds weird, like, I mean, I've been to the scary places with the guns and all that, and I've been to places where I could have died, and I've been to jail, I've been to the psych ward, you know, I've been pretty much any from the highs to the lows. And for me, my bottom was the fact that I couldn't even make it home to even drop her blanket off, and that she sleeps with every night. And the next day I made it home. My last drink, I remember my last drink, and it was a shot of Jameson. Jameson and vodka were my combo. And I couldn't even pick up the shot because I was shaking so bad from alcohol. I had to drink my shot with straws towards the end. It was all straws. And I saw a lot of things that weren't there. And I had conversations of things that weren't there. The next day, when I came home on the 29th, the next day I didn't drink, but that obsession was definitely kicking, and I was going to find any way possible to get a drink. And by the grace of God, I didn't. The following day was New Year's Eve, and my mom and dad have never gone out on New Year's Eve that I ever remember my whole entire life. And I'm now 33, but what was I, 32 then? 31? Whatever. Anyways. So in 30-something years of my life, like, they've never gone out on New Year's Eve. And they were going to go out. And I had just gotten home after a bender. And they went out anyways and left me with my kid. And, okay, she has earbuds in. She told me she'd put them in if I was upsetting her. They left me with my daughter, and my daughter, I literally have never left my daughter with anybody but my mom. And I knew that would be a bad idea. I got on Facebook and other things to find a sitter for my daughter, because how dare they leave her with me for New Year's. And she didn't make me cry. Ultimately, I saw a post on Facebook from my old sponsor, Dylan. She's in the program still, and she went through it with me. She picked me up off the side of the road when I was drunk. She went to court with me, in and out of the program. And she was at her first New Year's with her new husband, and she drove from Porterville to come pick me and my daughter up and took me to the New Year's Eve party. And at the party, I was sitting there, and they were doing the countdown, and they were in the months and then down to the days. And my daughter looked at me, and I share this a lot because it was probably my first spiritual experience, and not all spiritual experiences feel good, okay? Those are the best ones, actually, ultimately, when it comes down to it. And I didn't know it was a spiritual experience until I got further into the program and into the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And with that spiritual experience, my daughter looked at me, and she was always my savior, you know, when my parents were screaming at me and yelling at me, my daughter was there by my side, you know, and she always saved mom. She was the parent in my relationship with her for a very long time. And she looked at me that time, and she's all, "Why aren't you standing up, mom?" And you knew she knew, because she's old enough, and she's smart. And I said, "Mommy messed up again, you know." And she did one of these, like, done, and turned her back to me, and she's never done that, you know. And my heart just sunk, which I deserved it, though. They finally said 2 days, and I stood up, and I got the big book. Justin's here somewhere. I always bring that up because Justin got mad at me over it because he had, what, 8 days? Anyway, he thought he was going to win. But now he's older than me in sobriety, I guess. So I get up to get the book and didn't want to go. Dylan made me go. Bitch, no, I'm just kidding. And she's not here, I could say that. She knows I'd say it to her face. So my daughter went with me, and she held my hand and walked up there with me, got the big book, and we walked back together, we sat down, and this was, you know, this whole spiel was that spiritual experience, and she patted me on my leg, and she goes, "Mommy, I'm proud of you." And that was the first time that, I don't know, I can't really say the obsession was lifted right then. When I look back on it, that's when I feel that it was lifted. Because from then on, I mean, from 30th and on, I didn't have another drink. But it was just, I don't know, it was just not smooth sailing. That's the wrong words to use. But it was just, I mean, I was on fire, you know. And I stayed sober the first 30 days. This is where I know, too, there's a God, because what I went through my first 30 days, I know for a fact 30 days before that I would have drank. I mean, this is how I know the obsession was lifted, and the support system I had around me was very strong. When I was about 10 days sober, my grandma passed away, and right with me right there, and the 5 days before that I was taking care of her. And then I lost 2 friends, both to drinking and driving. One was hit by a drunk driver, the other one was drunk himself. And also I went to jail. That was fun. And one of my jailmates is in here. And that was lots of fun. That was another insane moment, you know. So my first 30 days, it was exciting. Also went through the major DTs, shakes. I think I ended up in the hospital at one point for like a day or two. So fast forward. So I got about 3 months sober at later on, so I got a new sponsor, started going to Primary Purpose. I got a new sponsor, and she's starting to work the steps with me, and we're in step one, and she's teaching me these words of the craving and the obsession and unmanageability. And we're already past the craving and obsession, and now we're in the unmanageability, right? And I have to do some work on it. And I come back, and I was like, I don't need to do unmanageability. My life is totally manageable. I'm sober, and everybody should throw a party because I'm sober. And she kicked me out of her house. Like, it was embarrassing, and even though it was just her and I, and I thought I was this still smart, egotistical, you know, self-centered person, and because 3 months sober, you still think, oh yeah, I'm sober, my life is great, you know, I got a job, I'm a mom again, you know, all this different stuff. And however, I was still just as insane as I was drunk. I just wasn't drinking and driving. I was sober and insane driving, and which I've been in 2 accidents since I got sober. Terrible driver sober, by the way. And in my first year. I started to become this, then I went back with her, and we went over unmanageability, and your life can be unmanageable sober too, and we went through that, and now, you know, I figured things out along those lines, and my life is still sometimes unmanageable, but we're working on that. No, I'm just kidding. Not allowed to say that. So moved on to, well, I've always believed in God. However, I've never relied on God. And and always blamed God for my problems. And I ended up, I now wake up every morning and I pray. I go to bed and I pray. I call him my dude. I don't have a dude. He's my dude. And the only dude you need, girls. The only healthy one. So he and I, we have lots of conversations, F words and all. And, you know, I never understood. They talk about, you know, the actor, the director, you know, his agent and all this different stuff. And I didn't know what those words meant when I read the book before. You know, when you start with page one, by the way, you should start with the very, very, very beginning of the book, because page one is not the beginning. The first page, when you open the book, that's the beginning. Go through all of that, because there's a lot of good information that you need to know to stay sober. But page one, if you start on page one, you start to read it and it's like this novel. You know, you kind of want to get that deep voice going and talk about all that really cool war stuff that he's going through. And I don't know where I was going with that. But I do know. Okay. Bam. Nope, don't. Lost it. Shit. All right. Anyways, so the terminologies and stuff in the book that, you know, nobody ever really talked to me about. Where was I, really, before that? I'll get there. Anyways. Nope, I know that. I was before that. I was already deep in the book, but I went back. No, I've already passed that too. So anyways, all right, back to this. So I found a higher power and I know. So back to my higher power. Well, you know, everybody talks about the fourth step being the scariest and all that different stuff. And, you know, for me, the third step was, you know, to really me lose control and give it to my higher power. Like, that was probably the hardest for me to do. But I'm going to tell you what, it has been the most amazing thing ever. Finding that higher power and being connected to him like as if your best friend. Don't get jealous, Alyssa. But me and my higher power, you know, that is the person, I mean, that's the person, that is the one who I walk in and I go and I be an agent for. There we go, agent. I knew it. It would come back to me. But, you know, through the big book, you learn all those different words that you never understood if you didn't have someone sitting across from you. Another spiritual experience is, you know, working with others. Right now I'm working with others. Anyways, go through, if you find a higher power, trust me, the steps after that they're not easy. They're still tough, but at least you have something right there beside you while you're going through it. One of the best spiritual experiences besides that first one was with someone who's in this room, who, don't get mad, I didn't really like at first. But when I walked into the house and my sponsor took me to, and I sat across from her and I showed her the circle and the triangle, I left there closer to my higher power too. And helping others is what this program is all about. I get, you know, service picking up, you know, cigarette butts and secretary meetings. I think those are all great. But ultimately for me, when it comes down to it, it's helping another alcoholic. I think I want to close with talking about the things that I have, you know, the promises, how they do come into your life, and there's lots of them in the book, and there's promises that if you don't do this, you're going to get drunk, and then there's promises of if you do this, this is what's going to happen, and thank God that, you know, I followed what it told me to do, so then I didn't get drunk. I am a part of this group. It's called TUKIPAW, Tulare County Young Peoples of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I know a lot of people in the homes, like, you guys have specific meetings you guys go to and stuff. But I do know when we get back from ACUPAW, we're going to start reaching out more to the homes. With that group, I don't even like half of them, but But I love them, okay? And honestly, when it comes down to it, like, we're a group of people, and you know, it's even in the meetings and everything, you know, you walk into a room and you don't find the differences. You know what I mean? I used to walk in here with my biker stuff on, and then I, you know, and, low-cut shirts and all that fun stuff. And then I fit in some areas, and then others, I was like, oh, she's a snob. I went to a women's meeting once, and oh my God. I walked in there. I love that women's meeting now. But I walked in there, I was like, how are these bitches gonna relate to me? You know what I mean? I'm a gangster. With my red jacket on. Whoa. Woo. And these women are all dressed nice. I'm like, she's a cop, she's a DA, and she's a judge's wife. I just know it. Yeah. These women are way harder than me, man. Way harder. I don't care if half of them are wine than their closet drinkers. Man, they are some gnarly women. But let me tell you, those women are some of the most amazing women I have ever met. And I'm so grateful for the people that came before me so that I have those people that I can follow in their footsteps. And no, I don't want to become them, but I want what they have. And I know I can achieve those things, which I already have started to. But we all need to focus instead of on our differences, but our similarities. And ultimately, when it comes down to it, we're all alcoholics and we have a problem with drinking, you know? And we just got to kind of stick together in regards to that. And that's kind of what this young people's group does. You know, we have fun. I like to get all serious and stuff, and we like to laugh and everything. The young people's group is a little young for me. I think the further I get in my sobriety, but they're all in their 20s, you know, and I'm getting that way. And old. But we've come together. Like, what we do is we reach out to the younger crowd of people, and it's not just young as in age-wise, but the young at heart and room to grow kind of group of people. And when it comes down to it, like, we really stick together. I will tell you this, getting into things like that, and my goal with that was to work with others and helping others. It has been probably one of the best things that have happened to me. Why? Because that group of people got me closer to my higher power. Because you definitely have to have God in your life to be in Waipaw. But I also have made some amazing friendships. I'll end with this. I will tell you this, by getting sober, not just getting sober, all those times before I got sober but I didn't work the steps, by getting sober and doing the steps and ultimately working with others, not everyone gets everything they want back, okay? I didn't get the husband back. I didn't get the house back. I didn't get that, you know, that life back. I didn't, you know, I didn't get my friends back, you know what I mean? I didn't get all that kind of stuff back. But what I did get is I'm a daughter again to my family, you know. My brother and I, we became distant because of my alcoholism, even though I blamed him. He's an asshole too. But at the same time, you know, on my birthday, he called me, you know, and I haven't talked to my brother and in that way in years. And that's through me being a part of AA and doing the step work. And then when it really, I'm also a mom, you know, I get to spend time with my kid and be a mom. My family goes to Al-Anon. Do not wish that upon anyone. They tell you no after learning that they can tell the alcoholic no. But it has truly blessed my family because now we can kind of relate in areas that a lot of families can't relate. You know, my family's normies. My dad can drink a beer and be done with one beer. Jealous. But the only only part I don't like about Al-Anon is that my mom is starting to not do my laundry anymore. And it pisses me off. I know. I don't like her sponsor. Or the meetings she goes to because of that. But what she has gained from that is she's let go of control to let me be a mom and me grow as a woman as well, you know. And I really, it's sad to say, I mean, it's not sad to say, it's weird to say, I enjoy when she says, no, don't listen to that. But, and even my daughter. My daughter's been able to accept that I'm an alcoholic. My daughter's been able to accept that this is a disease. My daughter has been able to know that she is powerless over the alcoholic, and she's also grown. You know, I never thought I'd sit down and I would be praying with my family or praying with my daughter. My daughter knows all of our prayers, you know, and it's amazing. It's amazing to be able to take your child around this and be proud. Be proud of the where you're headed. Be proud of who you're becoming. And it's really awesome when your kid looks at you and they say they're proud of you. My daughter just did that recently, you know. She's still a little shit, but she's growing too in the program. Mom says no now as well. But anyways, I really appreciate, oh, I forgot two people. I didn't forget them. My sober brother. So in this program, you gain family, and that's one right there, you know. I don't know what I'd do without him. Truly, truly blessed to have a brother in my life. And number one, sorry, brother, you're number two. Number one person. I've never had really girlfriends and stuff, but I actually have a best friend that I truly, truly can count on, and who is, you know, you think you have friends and homies and homeboys and homegirls out there and old men and old women or whatever they're called, old ladies. You know what I mean? But when you get into this program and you start doing the step work and putting one foot in front of the other, let me tell you, like you start to have true relationships with people that you thought there were true relationships before, but they weren't. And with this person, she's shown me what true friendship really is like. And I get to be, can I say it? Oh, and I get to be her baby's godmother. Sorry. No one in their right mind would ask me to be that. She's still new. But anyways, I really appreciate you guys asking me to be here. I'm so, so lucky to have the people that are in this room, you know, supporting me and being my true friends, people who I can truly count on, who I can actually call, and they will be there, you know. So with that, thank you guys.